Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Big Bros Wrestling Podcast. I am your co-host, Alex.
And I am your co-host, Andrew. This is the podcast where we talk wrestling here. We mainly go through Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown. We cover NXT if there's anything big that needs to be talked about. Yeah, we go through any pay-per-views or PLEs. We got Dynasty tomorrow. Coming up tomorrow night.
And
So we got...
any big news to talk about? We're
also in Mania season, so I mean, we're getting close.
2 weeks away from Mania.
That 2 weeks away.
Before we talk about wrestling, though, how you doing, buddy?
Doing all right. Doing all right. I feel like I'm the only one because it feels like everyone else around me is getting pollen stuck in their lungs. I don't know.
I'm one of those. I'm sniffling. My eyes are watering. I'm going to be coughing a lot this podcast. Oh, boy.
No, yeah, I'm fine. How about you?
Just get to summer. Just get rid of the pollen, please.
Yeah.
But also, my Braves finally won a game.
Let's go.
They finally won a game. They finally did it. They're no longer winless. Yes. Oh, boy. It's going to be a long season.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long season. But I don't think there was any big news other than I heard there was rumors that Miro finally signed.
I did hear rumors about that as well.
Like he officially signed, but there's nothing confirming it.
Yeah, I mean...
It's all just, like, heavy rumors that he did.
It's the...
Dirt sheets.
Yeah, dirt sheets, trying to get some clicks on Twitter.
Guys, Miro signed. Yeah. If you look at this...
Trying to get them to go to their... it's them trying to get attention, that's all it is.
Don't read the dirt sheets, Michael Cole.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's... it for big news?
Yeah, that's...
They don't really do a lot of big news during Mania season. No, they try to focus on the wrestling. But let's get straight into Monday Night Raw. It is their final stop in their European tour.
Yep.
And we start off with undisputed WWE Champion Cody Rhodes and John Cena. And they finally have a war of words.
Oh, yes.
Oh, boy. They actually go at it. There's the first one. Cena approaches Rhodes and lifts the microphone, but Rhodes cuts him off. Rhodes says they've listened to him talk for 2 weeks. Rhodes says it's my turn. He says Rhodes is going to do John Cena's job for him. Cena's going to cook him and end him. He's like, where do I start? You can make fun of my list. You can make fun of Stardust. You can... Rhodes says that Cena has to be baller, but he'll be out of Stardust. What else can you do? Rhodes says he has an arm tattoo, but it's on his neck. You can make fun of the tattoo.
Yeah.
But Rhodes says he got booted in a company. He's like, you can make fun of that. Rhodes says he wouldn't bite on any of that. He knew Cena wouldn't bite on any of that. Rhodes says he's struggling with the idea that Superman is really dead. Let's go Cena. Cena sucks. Blah, 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 blah. They started a "you sold out" chant, all that jazz. He says Cena lied to the audience for the past 2 weeks. He knows Cena cared about them at one point, but he knows for sure that Cena cared about them. Rhodes wants to tell Cena to tell them, really, why? Cena says he won't reduce himself and punch down to Rhodes' level. Rhodes has been protected long enough. He says, I'm not going to cook you. I'm going to bury you. I don't bury talent. I am talent. I bury mediocrity. It's like, okay, bud. You don't bury... No, you bury talent.
Yeah.
Cena doesn't care about Rhodes' lisp or his failures. He's manipulated his way to the top of the business. Rhodes' ego outmatches his ability, blah, blah, blah. Cena's been so great that... the WWE had to hand the heartbeat of this organization to his chauffeur. He's nothing. Blah, blah, blah. Cena says Rose is a slimy pickpocket who thinks he can run the kingdom because he sold the blueprint. Blah, blah, blah. But he's like, oh, you're fake. You're not. That's basically what he keeps going on. You're like, you seem too perfect to polish and rehearse. You rely on lazy gimmicks like the crowd singing his name. My goodness, this is going to be a rough one. The crowd sings Cody Rhodes. Cena says Rhodes is like the Pied Piper because he took a catchy tune and is 11 mediocrity. Strip away the music of the entrance and there's nothing to look but a pinstripe sheep. Cena says, you could walk me out here in silence and I bet your last dollar that I would body you before your first breath. Okay. Cena says, doesn't look like him, act like him, or work like him. Rhodes doesn't even act, look, work like himself. After all these years, Rhodes is afraid, blah, blah, blah. Rhodes instead gives a generic mix of every superstar he's ever loved or TV show he's watched. He's a big confused blob. He's like a 16-year-old, blah, blah, blah. Cena has worked too hard to make that title, he talks about the title, the title, that symbol of mastery, to have it paraded around by a paint-by-number sociopathic Nepo baby who was so into himself he had his wrestling gimmick tattooed for the world to see. It's like, it's not where it is, it's what it represents. After WrestleMania, it'll go to, it'll be great for Rhodes, go straight to Fanatics and buy a toy belt. The last real champion, he's taking it home. Blah, blah, blah. Cena says, that's your why. Rhodes says, Cena may be right. He may be chosen. Does Cena know who chose him? The crowd gives him a direct response. Rhodes says, can you say the same, John Cena? Or was it one guy in an office who chose you, who is not here anymore, and we don't talk about? Just like, Rhodes says, Cena can strip everything away from him. Who the heck knows who they are? He's Cody Rhodes. He's a wrestler like his father before him. If anyone is a company creation, it's John Cena, not Rhodes. And John Cena is a company creation. Rhodes says, I'm not, blah, blah, blah. Everyone is so terrified of Cena on the microphone. Rhodes says, I'm not, because I know you've got more in that promo than you do in your jorts. Cena wants to make fun of him for appearing like a 16-year-old taking public speaking lessons while Cena hangs out with Zac Efron wishing he was 16. What a softball. Rhodes sarcastically thanks him. Cena claims to create all this as Rhodes himself. All Cena did was create a lot of disenfranchised fans. Blah, blah. Man, this is a long promo.
It was.
Yeah. It was a long. Cena says Rhodes is just like all the people. His brain is filled with feces and not facts. Cena says he's worked 100 times harder. Never once was he protected from a crowd or a superstar taking their best shot at him. Every time he steps on the canvas, it's an invitation for any superstar, any arena or superstar, to take their best swing to see if they're worthy. No one is worthy. Cena decided to do it himself. Cena has never left. He's always been here, no matter how high the hill is to climb or what garbage they give him. He finds a way to make it great. Cena says, you had to leave because you realize that Rhodes' best can't wipe my butt. Cena says he's made empires for billionaires. All Rhodes ever did was steal money from their kids. Cena says, see you at WrestleMania, champ. He goes to leave. Rhodes stops him. Rhodes wants to remind Cena, and all the time he's been here, never once has an audience chanted at me, you can't wrestle. Cena stands on the apron and looks around as you can't wrestle chants fire up. Cena gets in the ring. He acts like he's going to hit him, and he goes, nah. Turns around and then does the heel thing. He's like, oh, no, I'm actually going to hit you. But Rhodes stops him, hits him with a crossroads, stands tall.
Oh, man.
There we go. What a good promo. Let's start out the night.
Oh, man. They finally let him go at it. People were saying, like, oh, come on, you gotta take, I don't know what turn of phrase I'm trying to use, but
yeah.
Let him loose. Just
let him go at it.
Yeah, that's what it felt like.
Just let him do.
Yeah, it was Cena would come out, say something, then Cody would come out, like, rebuttal a couple things he said, and that would be it.
Also, Cena said, oh, like, I'll never do something that low. It's like, but he did by telling him, I never left. It's like, okay, that's a low blow. That's like a low-hanging fruit. Yeah. Like, it's like, can we stop bringing that up? Can we stop bringing up that he left, made AEW, and then left there and came back to WWE? Can we stop bringing that up? It worked with Seth Rollins in the first feud, but after
that...
Yeah,
because, I mean, that was probably one of the biggest signings in the past. Yeah.
In the beginning part of his feud with Roman Reigns, because it's still kind of fresh. But bringing it up again now, it's like, stop bringing it up.
Yeah, I agree.
We don't need to talk about it anymore. Whew. Michael Cole and Pat McAfee are joined by Wade Barrett. We have a video about the Women's World Champion match for the main event. Blah, blah, blah. The New Day make their way to the ring. They'll be in action next. The commentators run down WrestleMania week. Blah, blah, blah. And they get back to the ring. Adam Pearce comes up to the stage and says he told the New Day they'd have to earn a WrestleMania opportunity. He says, like, welcome back, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, the new Catch Republic.
Yeah,
Tyler Bate is back from injury.
I want to go. Weren't we talking about him last week? I forget. I think we mentioned them for some reason.
Maybe. Yeah. But they are back, and it makes sense because they are in London. Yes, they are both British. Yes. And they are the first match of the night. I think it was a pretty good match, but unfortunately, the New Day do win.
Yeah, which I was surprised because I would think, like, you have the hometown guys, or
the home country
team come in, and you would think that, oh yeah, they're going to win now, and then New Day's going to fall back into mediocrity, but I guess we'll see what comes with the New Day now.
After the match, Cadley Kelly slaps the New Day on the ramp. She congratulates them on the big win. She asks if tonight's win further cements their belief that they deserve a tag title win. Woods goes, are you slow? We deserve title shots since day one. Kingston demands what they're owed and deserve. They want the World Tag Team Championship. World Tag Team Champions, the War Raiders, head to the stage. Eric and Ivar go face-to-face with Woods and Kingston and hold the titles up, and then the New Day just walk off. Okay. We get a backstage segment with Jimmy Uso's taping up when main event Jey Uso walks in. Jey says he'd feel better if he were with Jimmy tonight. Jimmy says tonight is different. He knows the world was doubting Jey, but he's going out to pump up. He says, I need to do this on my own. I got this. Blah, blah, blah. World Heavyweight Gunter is walking backstage. He'll battle Jimmy Uso next. We get some highlights from the absolutely legendary street fight between Triple H and Cactus Jack at the 2000 Royal Rumble. Michael Cole and Pat McAfee will host the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony.
Yeah,
blah, blah. Apparently there's some people at ringside. Da, da, da. Oh, yeah, Louis Capaldi was there. That's the only person I know. Yeah. In a non-title match, we have Jimmy Uso versus Gunter, which I think was a good match. I mean, they're both pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
But it's what happens after the match that people are like, this is now a great story. Gunter puts the World Heavyweight Champion around his waist and goes to leave before turning around. He grabs Jimmy Uso and applies a sleeper hold. Main event, Jey Uso runs down to save his brother. Jey takes Gunter down and punches him at him. Gunter rolls out of the ring, but Jey follows him out. Gunter retreats to the crowd. We go to commercial break. But after, we see Jey Uso helping up his brother. Then Gunter comes back in and attacks them from behind. Gunter sends Jey hard into the ring steps and chops his chest. Officials and security run down as Gunter sets up for a powerbomb on the steel steps. Gunter attacks one of the guards and gives him a powerbomb on the steps. Gunter then wipes out the other guard. Gunter grabs a zip tie from one of the guards and puts it around Jay's wrist. Gunter rips at the eyes and attaches him to the middle rope. And now Jey can't do anything. He's attached. And then Gunter kicks Jey and grabs the World Heavyweight Championship. Jey gets in the ring but cannot get far from the middle rope. Gunter taunts Jey and says he'll never get the title. Gunter turns and sees Jimmy on the apron, and he just beats the crap out of Jimmy.
That was
just beating the absolute crap out of him. Jimmy starts bleeding. It gets on Gunter's forearm, and then he just
smears it on his chest as well.
The crowd grabs Jimmy grabs at his brother, but Gunter pulls Jimmy back and puts him in a sleeper hold. Jimmy is gushing blood from the forehead. Officials get in the ring and get Gunter to release the hold. Jake cradles his brother's head. Jimmy's apparently he's got the crimson mask. And then Gunter leaves. It's just like,
That happened.
You just made this storyline so much better.
Yeah.
People are actually going to be invested in this.
Yeah, I mean, this is the Gunter that we were waiting for. Mm-hmm. The diabolical, just go after him, no mercy. Yeah.
Yeah, they talk about some other stuff. We'll go to another backstage segment. Finn Balor's talking with Dirty Dom and Carlito, and then Liv and Raquel walk in. Balor says, brothers fight like cats and dogs. Now the talk of adding a new member is behind them. Balor tells Rodriguez she had a tough loss, but he'll bring home the Intercontinental Championship. Balor and Mysterio walk off. Rodriguez tells Carlito to go away. Morgan tells Rodriguez they need to do something about Bayley and Lyra. Rodriguez agrees. Cool. Penta makes his entrance. He'll team with Bron Breakker to face Finn Balor and Dirty Dom. And we go straight into that match. They have a... From what I saw, the highlights, it was a pretty good match.
Oh, yeah.
But what happens is, near the end, Penta rocks Balor with a super kick and heads to the second rope. Mysterio grabs Penta's leg. Carlito gets on the apron and distracts the referee, but Breakker punches him down. Penta fights with Mysterio, goes for blah, 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 blah. Balor turns and stares as he waits for Breakker to charge with it. They're holding Penta. And then, all of a sudden, Mysterio... I don't know. Penta gets hit with a spear.
Yeah.
By Bron Breakker. And then, Penta gets pinned. And that's his first one. The Judgment Day do win. Man, I'm struggling today. But I'm going to power through. Chad Gable's backstage with Raw General Manager Adam Pearce. Gable puts over El Grande Americano. Mm-hmm. Pearce says Gable is still sick. Gable gives him a doctor's note.
Yeah.
Pearce says that's a shame because Raw's in Minneapolis next week, and that's your hometown. Gable wants to compete in his hometown, but Pearce sarcastically says, your health is of the utmost importance. Pearce says, El Grande Americano will compete on American soil. Angered, Gable walks away and stops before Alpha Academy. Gable calls them clowns and calls Otis an idiot before walking out. Next thing, Dupree says she wants to talk to Otis and Akira Tozawa about an idea she has with Natalya. Pearce says he's excited to talk about their futures. Why are they including Natalya? I don't want her there. Rhea Ripley is preparing for a World Heavyweight Championship match, blah, blah, blah. Go to commercial, then we come back. Kathy Kelly is preparing to interview Bron Breakker, but it's quickly broken up by Penta, who is very mad. Penta has held back by officials. Penta calls Breakker stupid. He's like, you stupido.
Yeah.
And insinuates that he speared him on purpose. Logan Paul calls out AJ Styles. All that happens is basically Logan Paul's calling out AJ Styles for a match. I think they agree. This tweet says, a pretty basic pay-by-numbers segment with AJ Styles and Logan Paul. Paul plays a stereotypical rich bad guy, but does it well. Still, this doesn't need to be a huge angle because I feel this will be a good match. That's all it really is. They're just trying to get a little bit of hype for this match. Nothing they need to really write home about. Jackie Redmond is backstage with Lyra Valkyria. She asks Valkyria about her next moves. She thanks Bayley for having her back concerning the title. She wants to prove she can stand on her own 2 feet. Bayley is the one person who has beaten her since she's held the title. It's driving her crazy. Next week, she'll battle Bayley for the title. Cool. Blah, blah, blah. We're almost to the main event.
Yeah.
We have another backstage segment. Before that, though, Judgment Day is celebrating backstage. Finn Balor says he beat Penta and got the better Bron Breakker for the second week in a row. Balor says he's on a roll and will talk to Adam Pearce about a title match. He walks off. Liv Morgan tells Mysterio that Balor is taking credit for the victory when Mysterio worked just as hard. Morgan says she'll talk to Pierce as soon as Balor is done. Mysterio is confused. He's just like, huh? Triple threat? at Mania. We'll see. And then we get into the main event, Rhea Ripley versus Io Sky with Bianca Belair as the special guest referee. Now, I heard it was a good match, but I'm seeing a lot of memes about it's the, you know, it's the one guy on a bike, he sticks the thing in the thing and he blames someone else. Or Eric Andre, he shoots a guy. He's like, how could this happen? And it's like basically Rhea Ripley is doing it to herself and she's blaming Bianca. Ripley goes for a German suplex, but Sky does a standing switch. Ripley elbows Sky, Ripley hits, but Sky moves away. Ripley hits Belair instead, knocking her out of the ring. Sky rolls Ripley up, but Ripley rolls through and kicks her in the head. Ripley connects with the Riptide, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but they, there's no referee. Yeah. Ripley had her pinned many times over. Belair gets to her feet and yells at Ripley. Ripley shouts for Belair to get in the ring. As Belair enters the ring, Ripley covers 1, 2, Sky kicks out. Belair holds, Virgil holds up two fingers. Ripley gets in Belair's face. Belair shoves her away. Sky grabs Ripley, but Ripley takes her down and punches at her. Blah, blah, blah. Belair rips Ripley away. Ripley swats at Belair's face and throws jewelry at her. Ripley then realizes what she did. Ripley turns and avoids a missile dropkick from Sky, and it hits Belair instead. Belair calls her the bell and calls a double disqualification. Interesting.
So, yeah.
But Io retains. But that really pisses off Rhea Ripley. She attacks Belair at ringside. Sky then takes them out with an Asai moonsault. I thought, okay. Sky gets Ripley in the ring and punches away at her. Belair gets in the ring, attacks Sky, blah, blah, blah. But I think what happens is Ripley just stands tall at the end. She beats them both up.
Yeah.
And gee, I wonder what this could mean.
Yeah. I had a feeling that, like, okay, sure, this is cool and whatever, but yeah.
Like, I think everyone knew, it's like, oh, something screwy is going to happen. Now, pretty much confirming that Ripley's going to be in the triple threat.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, we'll see what happens this coming Monday. But, I mean, we're getting close. We're getting 2 weeks away. So, I mean, we'll probably see the card start to fill up.
Yeah, within the next couple of weeks, we'll really start to see the card fill up more. But John Cena, Cody Rhodes.
Oh, man.
I'm still trying to figure out what they're going to do with John Cena, because he still comes out in his colorful shirt, colorful hat, the jorts.
Yeah.
He looks like a child. Like, he literally looks like a child dressed him.
I guess.
Like a big man child. Same entrance music. It's like, are you actually going to make him heel? Because his theme song is not heel. It's not. It's like very face-like. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know.
We'll see. He doesn't do his normal stuff like before he would come in. He's like, all right, guys, let's go. Here we go. We're trying to do it. And he runs to the ring. He's like, woohoo, here I am.
Yeah.
They had a good one of words.
Yes, oh yeah. Just, letting them go at it.
That was the highlight of the... Well, the main event was a good one, too.
Yeah.
Oh, but, and I mean, Jay. My gosh, Jay.
Yeah, then also Gunther. Yep.
Because a lot of people rightfully said, like, it's missing something. It's like, it just feels like your normal guy's like, I'm going to come after you. It's like, okay. And now that, now Jay has something more for it. It's like, you beat up my brother. Now I'm going to beat you up.
Yeah, it was last week that they were in Scotland, right? So, yeah, there was Jimmy came in, and then this is where it...
Jimmy slapped him last week.
Yeah, and then...
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think of what else happened. I mean, it looks like... Why are they giving Ivar Valkyria a title match this close to WrestleMania?
I know.
The EO Ripley one makes sense. Because it wasn't really going to be a title defense.
Yeah, that was storyline. They had
everyone. Everyone knew what was going to go on there.
Yeah.
So there's really not much story to that. But, like... maybe they really don't have anything for Lyra at WrestleMania. They just, like...
Maybe because, I mean, that's a shocker, not having...
I'm surprised they're not doing Bayley versus Roxanne.
I agree. I don't know.
That's the one, like... Because they've had this feud for so long, and it's still there. Like, why not?
I don't know. We still have 2 weeks. I think... I don't know.
I don't... Maybe we'll see. We'll see. I do think it's going to be a triple threat for the Intercontinental title, though. Finn versus Braun versus Dom.
Yeah.
Like, Watcher's just like, oh, by the way, I got you in the match, too. It's going to be a triple threat match. And then Dom's just going to be like, I didn't know what she was doing. I swear, man. Finn Balor's going to get all mad. Watch Dom win.
Yeah. And Finn Balor gets even... That would be odd.
Finn Balor gets even more angry. And then they kick Finn Balor out.
I mean, it's looking like he's trying to take over as the leader, so
and
we'll see.
And every single time they get a leader, they kick him out. Except for Liv, like, but no one's going to kick her out.
We'll see. There's only 3 matches so far for Stand and Deliver. So
what are those matches right now?
It's Obafemi, Trick Williams, Javon Evans for the NXT Championship.
Triple threat. Okay.
Stephanie Vaquer versus whoever for the NXT Women's Championship. And
I forgot.
I'm glad we ended Raw.
The week before, not this week, last week. Was it last week or was it this week?
I think it was,
no, it was this week.
Yeah, it was
she
this week.
She did relinquish the NXT North American Women's Championship.
A la what they did with Keith Lee back when he was the double champ.
Like, he had it for like a couple weeks and he's like, I'm going to drop this one. It's like, oh yeah, you want to be the world champion.
Yeah, here. Obviously.
It's like, can I be it's like, should I be the world heavyweight champion or the United States?
Or North American.
World heavyweight.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
It's like, you would take the world heavyweight over the United States.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then, the only other match is the...
The main event, which was between Ricky Saints and...
Yeah.
Shawn Spears. Yeah. That's who had it. Ricky Saints wins.
Ricky Saints, yeah.
But afterwards, Ethan Page attacks him.
We were talking about AEW.
It's so funny all that happened. And then you hear the crowd go, Tony fumbled.
Yeah. Oh.
Tony fumbled. Which I think is funny. Because then afterwards, it was on Threads. It was like, oh yeah, Tony fumbled. What about these three? And it showed Tony Storm. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Swerve Strickland. It's like, okay, that's not...
NXT?
Hold on. Swerve is not much of an argument because of reasons. And then this is a horrible argument. They put Ricochet. I'm like, no, hold on, bud. Hold on.
What?
And Ricochet's been there for like not that long. He's not been doing that great.
If that, yeah.
And then, hold on, buddy.
And then immediately they just ran it back with all the stuff he did in New Japan before he got to NXT.
Yeah. And the Swerve thing, it's like, well, he was a part of Hit Row at the time, and Hit Row was not getting anything. Like, the crowd did not like Hit Row. They were just like, I'm not into this gimmick. It was the gimmick he had with the rest of the people. It was good in NXT, but then they brought him to the main roster, and that doesn't work a lot of the times. Because some NXT things do not work well in the main roster. Like, Chase, you would have never gotten over on the main roster.
I agree, yeah. As cool as it was,
it's a great NXT thing. Main roster, no one would have gotten into. It would have not gotten nearly as popular. Because NXT, yeah, you have some casual fans, but you have some more, like, diehard. wrestling
fans. Yeah,
yeah. SmackDown and Raw, those are your casual fans.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't have believed in Chase U. They would have been like, what? This is a dumb gimmick. It's like, you already have this. You had the Spirit Squad. It's a Spirit Squad knockoff, guys. It literally is. Less. It literally is, because the Spirit Squad was a college cheerleading team. It was an all-guys cheerleading team. And Chase Hughes is like, oh, we're a college. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities there. But yeah, the only other match for Stand Deliver, though, is a six-way ladder match for the Women's North American Championship. So there's only three matches. So how many more they add.
I mean, they gotta add, they're probably gonna add, looks like Ethan Page versus Ricky Saint.
So yeah.
Probably gonna add something. Brock Sampras. Jordan Grace is probably gonna be in there somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to see where. With the women, like, they could easily be put in the ladder match.
She's probably going to be. Is there any confirmed participants?
There's only Zarya and Kalani Jordan.
I forgot about Zarya.
Yeah, I know. I think once they have, like, Stephanie and Julia get a little more time, go to the main roster, they'll build her a lot more. Because I know, like, they had a lot of oversaturation with new women coming in.
They really did.
Because
they had Zara, you had Stephanie Vakour, you had Julia, you had Jordan Grace, you have Kalani Jordan, you have, well, Roxanne Perez has been there for a while.
Yeah.
Sol Ruka is starting to get a little more.
Mm-hmm.
You have all, the NXT women's roster is very good, but it's also getting a little, it's like, calm down. You don't need everybody.
I think the draft will help that. So, we'll see who will get the call-ups from the draft.
We'll get some more.
We'll obviously see Roxanne.
Roxanne Perez is definitely moving up. Who else is on the NXT women's roster?
That's the only woman so far that is like a definite, oh yeah, she's coming up right now.
Let's see. Rizzo, Ariana Grace, from the previous colleague, maybe Cora Jade, but I don't really see it either.
Yeah, I could see the argument.
Jordan Grace says not. I mean, she just joined. No. Maybe, no, not Lola Vice. No. Roxanne Perez is, wow. That might be the only. Nikita Lyons, no, because she was out for too long.
No,
she's got a. Shotzi's down there now? All right, she's with Gigi Dolan, right?
Oh, yeah, they're doing that thing. Yeah, I forgot about that.
What's their new group called? Is that Fatal Attraction?
No, that's JC Jane. She made that, which was literally a one of one of Toxic Attraction. I forget what theirs are. Because it's her.
No, JC Jane's is Fatal Influence.
Yeah. But it was a one out of Toxic Attraction with Mandy Rose back when she was
That's right.
But then it's Gigi Dolan, Shotzi,
Tatum Paxley,
that's the third one. I forget what they're doing. But anyway, yeah, I don't see any of them moving up anytime soon.
Oh yeah, and she has stuff with TNA, but there's really not. Cora Jade is the only other one you can make an argument for.
Yeah,
none of these others are ready. Some of these people I don't even know. It's like, who are you? I haven't heard of you in a while. Like Carly Bright.
Yeah, there's a couple of them.
I saw Carmen Petrovic, I've heard of her.
Yeah, she hasn't done a lot, though.
Yeah, a lot of them have not, but.
But, I mean, we'll see. I think, I don't know, maybe not the draft.
Yeah, we'll see. But I think that's all of Raw and NXT we need to talk about. You have anything else you want to add?
That's all I got. All
right, that's all of Raw and NXT.
Let's move on to Dynamite Now. This week, we are in Peoria, Illinois. And opening the night, we got the Mixed Tornado Tag Match. John Moxley and Marina Shafir of the Death Riders taking on Swerve Strickland and Willow Nightingale. Mox and Swerve, obviously, they got their match at Dynasty. Willow seemed to be helping evening the odds against the Death Riders with Marina Shafir. In what I'm assuming was a good opener, absolutely. With Willow pinning Marina Shafir to pick up the victory.
However, after...
But after, this is shocker. They were celebrating. It's not long after John Moxley gets up. I think I saw Glover's like, he looked dazed or whatever. He goes right to Willow, gets her in a headlock, DDT on the mat, and gets out of there. And he's like, what? And it was a shocker of a moment. Like, okay, I didn't know we were doing that anymore. But John Moxley just showing, hey, I'll go to a lot of places. So we'll see what this means for Dynasty tomorrow night. Then we have Renee Paquette with FTR interviewing them. There was another little thing that happened on Collision. Dax Harwood clearly not happy, and I think he did hit or engaged a ref or something like that. Or I forget what happened or whatever, but Paul Turner, who was a ref for AEW, was there. And Dax apologized to him directly and gave the fine money directly to him. And then he directed back to the interview and said he and Cash would set their issues aside before Sunday because they love each other like brothers. And he apologized to Cash Wheeler and did push him on purpose. But he went to hug him, but Cash was like, yeah, that's fine. We're brothers. We'll be fine. But after Sunday, we have to talk. So we'll see if anything happens on Sunday. Definitely there's cracks forming. And then the brackets for the Owen Hart Foundation tournament are revealed, and Jay White, unfortunately, due to an injury, is being replaced by Kevin Knight. I don't recognize that name. He's done a lot in New Japan, and is currently signed to AEW, but he's done a lot in New Japan, it looks like, mainly. So that's the only big thing coming out of that. Then we get Toni Storm versus Penelope Ford. Last week, Toni Storm was pinned by Megan Bain while in the tag match.
Mm-hmm.
She was taking on Penelope Ford as well. So there's this match here. With not a long match with Toni Storm getting the victory there. But then Megan Bain came out of the rep, mockingly clapping. Just congratulating the champion or whatever. We'll see what goes on there. That's another match. That's definitely a big one at Dynasty. And then we got a medical update on Willow. Swerve giving an update. He said, Willow's strong and brave. That's why I didn't mind facing up against the Death Riders with her. She welcomed the challenge. But John, knowing the history of neck issues that Willow has, and you still chose to do what you did tonight, now you're on the hunt. I'm not resting until I have my hands on John Moxley tonight. By the end of the night, I will have my hands on John Moxley. I promise you. So,
whoa. You're whining because, like, you know she has an issue. She has neck issues. A history of neck issues. Like, then why is she wrestling, you big lug? Like, what? Like, he did that. It's like...
It does seem like a weird angle to use.
That's a weird thing to argue about. It would be... Like, and it was, like, the most simplest DDT you could.
Yeah,
it was. Like, it was, like, a very simple one. Like, yeah. The most basic DDT you could. And it looks like, you know, John Moxley, he's probably a safe wrestler. I've never heard of him being unsafe.
Yeah.
But like, brother, you signed up for it.
But yeah, it was a weird, that's a weird angle to give.
Also, you kicked Marina Schaefer.
And all that.
You hit the kill shot on Marina Schaefer. Mr. Man.
I guess, yeah.
Oh, well.
Then we have MVP and The Hurt and...
The Hurt Syndicate.
Just MVP and Bobby Lashley coming out.
Oh, yeah.
And MJF then comes out. We'll see what happens here. Bobby Lashley clearly didn't want MJF as part of the Hurt Syndicate. MJF then comes out, of course, before Bobby Lashley could start. He's pardon the interruption, but if we're being honest here, you kind of disrespected me last week, Bob. Allow me to formally introduce myself. I'm MJF. I'm a generational talent. I know about you and Shelton Benjamin. Shelton, I know you had some travel issues, but I'll see you down the road. Going on. Then he just talks about how much he can help the Hurt business. And how he knows it like the back of his hand, and he knows how to get to the top, stay on top, and wants to help Bobby Lashley and Shelton hold on to the tag titles as long as you want. And he says he also knows that they can help him get back my AEW World Championship. He ends up saying MJF and the Hurt Syndicate. And the Hurt Syndication is just good business.
What I'm getting at is this. You may not want MJF, but Bobby, you need MJF.
Yeah. And then Bobby was like, out of respect for MVP, I'm not going to leave you laying here right now. I don't like you. I don't trust you. And the Hurt Syndicate does not need you. Unless you prove otherwise, you need to get on a face right now. And MJF says, you want me to prove myself? Okay. Then he leaves the ring. We'll see what happens.
We'll see.
This is getting really interesting here, a lot more than what I thought would be. Then up next, we have the learning tree of Big Bill and Brian Keith still on their quest to get the tag titles and... get a shot at the tag titles to impress Chris Jericho. They take on two local wrestlers in not a long match. I think this is also in front of the Hurt Syndicate.
Specifically Bobby Lashley.
Yeah. And so Big Bill, he gets one of the guys just, over the ropes in front of Bobby Lashley. And then
he chokeslams the other guy. He's just like, I win.
Yeah. And then Big Bill grabs the mic and he talks about Collision, where they beat Top Flight as well. And says they want a match tomorrow. Like, this point would be Wednesday, so Sunday night for the AEW World Tag Team Champions. So they still want their shot, and they want it at Dynasty. Then we have Mercedes Moné backstage, talking about how Sunday at the first round of the Owen Hart tournament, she'll be facing Julia Hart. So there's that. We'll see. Yeah, that's going to get going as well, the Owen Hart tournament. Then we got Will Ospreay and Kevin Knight taking on Blake Christensen and Lee Johnson. with not a long match with Kevin Knight pinning Lee Johnson. But then Tony Schiavone then announced after that at Sunday at Dynasty, Will Ospreay and Kevin Knight will face each other in the first round of the men's Owen Hart tournament. So we got two of the first round matches there. Then we got the Ops backstage with they had a message. Samojo said, a lot of you may be wondering why we started this group in the first place. I knew when I came back to the battlefield I need to bring a different arsenal. At Dynasty we'll be watching and seeing all, and please don't let us catch you lacking. So we'll see if this goes from here. obviously. Then we got Brody King taking on Lance Archer, two big guys going at it. With Brody King pinning Lance Archer to get the win there.
Looks like it was a good match, though.
Yes, it was. From what I saw, it was a good match. And now we're at the main event of the night.
The main event?
We got Adam Copeland, the Rated R Superstar. He's still going by that. Taking on Claudio Castagnoli of the Death Riders. And also part of the trio champion team. With what I'm assuming was a pretty good match, knowing both those wrestlers. They're put on a heck of a show, I'm sure. Mm. With Adam Copeland hitting the spear and pinning Claudio for the victory. Then we get Rene Paquette backstage. He's trying to get another update on Willow or whatever, and tries to catch up with Swerve. And the Swerve's like, with all due respect, Renee, I'm looking for your husband right now. He's still trying to find John Moxley. But then Hangman Adam Page comes up and they start getting a yelling match. And he said, Hangman said that Swerve was wasting his time. And that he deserved his house being burned down. And Swerve agreed. He agreed that he deserved being his house burned down. And he was like, he looks like he was still dealing with it or whatever. That was okay. Then Hangman, he looks shocked clearly at what Swerve just said. Nodded his head and walked away. Not his business anymore. But then Moxley and the Death Riders ambush Swerve, and they get him back into the ring.
Pull him back to the ring.
Yeah, and then they, Wheeler Yuta, when they get back in the ring, pulls out a bucket of glass shards, and he pours it out, and then Claudio powerbombs Swerve onto the glass, of course. But then Swerve gets up and sneers at John Moxley. Is that really all you've got?
He sat up
and everything. But the Moxley and the Death Riders left through the crowd as well. So, this is going to be a match at Dynasty.
Yeah. It will be a match. But you're correct on that.
We'll get to... We'll obviously get to more of that once we talk about at the end when we talk about Dynasty. But yeah, I mean, this is just pretty much a go home show for Dynasty. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot to talk about. I am excited for the Owen Hart tournament to get going and us talking about it for the next couple days.
Yeah.
Give me one.
Wait, what are you looking up?
I'm looking up the tournament
card
bracket.
It starts tomorrow. You know that.
Oh,
man, they do.
So for the women, we have obviously Mercedes Moné taking on Julia Hart. At Dynasty.
What are you looking at?
The bracket.
Oh.
Mercedes will be taking on Julia Hart at Dynasty. We also got Harley Cameron taking on Athena. Chris Statler taking on Thunder Rosa. Billy Starks taking on Jamie Hayter. So, those matchups are to come. And then the finals are at Double or Nothing this year.
For the men, we got Will Ospreay versus Kevin Knight, Brody King versus Konosuke Getesta, Mark Briscoe versus Kyle Fletcher, and then Hangman Adam Page versus to be determined. To be announced.
Wild card. Okay, yeah.
The wild card, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, and then both finals will be at Double or Nothing to determine the winner of the tournament. But yeah, we got Will Ospreay, Kevin Knight, and then Mercedes Moné and Julia Hart to look forward to tomorrow night. We'll get to that when we get to our predictions.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, nothing else, yes. I really want to add?
There's nothing else I really add either.
All right, that is all of Dynamite. Now let's move on to Friday Night SmackDown. We are back in the States. We are in Chicago, Illinois. See, I wonder who's from there.
Yeah, I wonder. Huh. I wonder.
They kick off live in the arena. A loud CM Punk chant erupts as we got to shoot of just people entering the ring. Back in the arena, we got to Wade and Joe, who welcome everyone to the show, blah, blah, blah. We hear Colt's personality play, and out comes CM Punk. He stands on the barricade to celebrate with the fans, blah, blah, blah. Stands in the ring with fans chanting his name. Punk says, but he knew they were coming to Chicago. That gets an ovation from the crowd. Punk grabs a camera from Rico, the cameraman, and he begins shooting the crowd, and a loud CM Punk chant goes through. He tells him that's why they don't listen to outside voices. He says, a little fact is, he is not supposed to be here. He was born in Silver Cross Hospital with a cord around his neck. He was born blue, and they had to bring him back to life. Like, interesting, didn't know that about him. And every time he comes out, no matter the city, he aims to make new fans. But to excuse him tonight because his aim to thank the 16,000 in attendance, blah, blah, blah. He talks about he got into the main event when they said, you deserve it. Punk asks if he deserves it. He says he's earned it. He studied in the backyards of Chicago, blah, 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 blah. He's a product of Chicago. He has to thank everyone, and he thanks his wife and AJ Lee. Chant and go through. Guys, he thanks Larry, his dog. He says there are too many people to thank, and he would not be where he was, blah, blah, blah. He thanks him and says, now the hard work begins because he has a date at WrestleMania. He promises he's going to whoop Seth's butt, and he's going to put a beating on the Tribal Chief. We then hear Paul Heyman do his, ladies and gentlemen. He apologizes for being late. He calls CM Punk his best friend. The best in the world, and they get an ECW chant. Heyman says to ask what your wise man can do for you. He tells Punk that he belongs here in the ring in Chicago and in the main event. Heyman says that the last time they were standing in the ring, the bloodline was breathing down his neck, and the next week they put him through a table. After that, Punk had a Hell in a Cell match with Drew, and Punk was contemplating never coming back. But Heyman pleaded with him and told him he needs someone at War Games for Roman Reigns to do him a favor. And Punk did that and saved him the match and the bloodline, blah, blah, blah. He thanks him and tells him that he has one more favor to ask him. Punk is surprised and asks him what it is. Oh, he has another favor. He tells Punk to tell him what the favor he owes him because Roman will be here and he's already mad and he doesn't know what happens when I'm here. Punk says, like, Roman's not here? And he's like, he's not here yet. Punk says, as much as he thinks the favor is none of Roman's business, it will affect him, and that is why he will tell what the favor is when Roman arrives, and then he leaves. Cool. And we get a little video package of Rey Fénix. Nathan Frazier comes out, and then we get the debut.
The debut.
Of Rey Fénix, and like I said, he is facing Nathan Frazier, which is a fantastic opponent for him.
Yeah, that was. I like that matchup. Absolutely.
they had, from what I saw the highlights, a very good match.
I saw, yeah, from what I saw too, absolutely.
With Rey Fénix, of course, picking up the win. Why wouldn't he? He gives the his, like, hey, I'm back. Hey, I'm here. I'm ready to do it. Basically, hey, get ready for me kind of promo. Yeah. I'm here. Woo, look out for me. We then cut to Legado del Fantasma and Santos Escobar. Legado del Fantasma and Santos Escobar tells them that it is a great debut and the kind of performance he expects from Angel and Berto. They look at him in disagreement. Escobar tells them that he likes their fire and says he will speak with all of us to have a match. Rey Fénix against Berto and Santos walks away. He's like, Rey Fénix against Berto. I think Rey Fénix is going to win that one.
Yeah.
Afterwards, we get a video of Drew McIntyre. He's wearing an eye patch for some reason. I didn't know he had Pirate Drew.
No, the glass got in, the real glass got in his eye. Did you see that too?
Oh, I did not.
Yes. Yeah, after the attack last week, he said, "It was real glass. I got some in my eye.
It got some in my eye."
It was just hilarious knowing why he did that. Just the whole real glass.
Cry me a river. It's like, there's a reason. Talking about Damian Priest, and no one cares about him unless he is feeding off Drew's scraps. He asks Damian to explain to him why he is wrong and fight like him like a man. But Damian did what he always does. He attacked like a vulture. He put him through a windshield. He can live through his back hurting while flying across the Atlantic. He says he needs to pray, and when Drew prays, bad things happen. I pray this will happen in the game, Drew. It's like, oh my gosh. Byron Saxton is backstage with Braun Strowman, and Strowman says he has had enough of Jacob Fatu getting involved in his business, blah, 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 tonight. We'll keep him down and go to WrestleMania and complete his Grand Slam. Don't know what that means. In comes Solo, Sikoa, and Tamatunga. In comes LA Knight, who tells Braun not to waste his time with Solo, however, blah, 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 blah. They say, like, hey, don't waste your time with him. And LA Knight comes out to the ring because it is him versus Tamatunga. I guess it's a decent match with LA Knight picking up the win. I mean, that literally says a decent match between LA Knight and Tamatunga. Yeah. Not much to say. Just wait for the infamous Tongaloa to come back.
Tongaloa.
We cut to the back and Paul Heyman is standing at the arena entrance and in comes Byron Saxton. Heyman begins to speak, but Byron stops. He grabs the camera and says that no matter what the favor is, his answer is yes. As he is speaking, a car is shown arriving to the arena. He tells CM Punk, anything you want, my answer is yes. Heyman yells, my tribal chief, you have arrived in Chicago, but out comes Seth Rollins. He tells Heyman to cheer up and that he was probably expecting the other Shield guy. He tells Heyman he looks awful. He says he has had a great week once he and got away from the CM Punk stuff. He was able to gain some perspective and formulate a plan. Blah, blah, blah. It's just Seth Rollins here. Back at ringside, Charlotte Flair's music hits, and now she comes. And now we have a little promo battle between Tiffany and Charlotte Flair. Out comes Tiffany Stratton with Wade and Charlotte in the ring. Wade introduces Tiffany at WrestleMania and Charlotte. Tiffany asks the fans what time is it, and they yell, Tiffany time. Wade asks Charlotte why she chose Tiffany for WrestleMania, and she still thinks it's the wise choice. Flair says Tiffany was begging, and there she was. The fans boo Flair as she continues her promo. She says she did make the right choice because she wanted to make the smartest wrestling fans in the world here in Chicago, that there is no comparison. Stratton asks her if she is done. She tells Flair that her biggest competitor has been the fans, and no matter what, this is a battle Flair will never win. She likes to pretend like nothing bothers her, but she goes on crying some boohoo talk show. I don't know what that means. This talk. Apparently, she went on some talk show and started crying about stuff. And she can break all the records, but when it's all said and done, she'll still come second to your daddy, Ric Flair. And at WrestleMania, you'll come second to me. Charlotte begins to speak, but the fans cut her off, and Stratton says that is power. Flair tells him to hold on. She tells Stratton she's repeated what her opponents of the last 10 years have said. All she talk as she talks, the boos get louder. Flair begins to speak and the fans boo. Okay. Calm down, phone. Tiffany asks if the cat has got her tongue, and Flair asks the fans that they will what they would like to say for her. Flair tells Tiffany that she can have the last word. Tiffany tells that her at 25 years old, she was trying to be a volleyball player drinking in her daddy's basement. And her, she says, you know, Charlotte, you at 25, you were trying to be a volleyball player drinking in your daddy's basement. Me at 25-year-old, I'm walking into WrestleMania as WWE Women's Champion. Flair says that this is another match, but it looks like Tiffany got her in her WrestleMania record, maybe 4-3, but outside of the ring, she isn't the queen of... Tiffany calls her a Nepo baby, and Flair says that she is a Nepo queen.
Okay.
It's like, all right? Tiffany tells her that when she beats her at WrestleMania, she'll be She will be just like she is outside of the ring, alone. Flair's record is 0-3, and she throws her microphone and leaves the ring. Flair asks if that's why Kaiser and her DMs, and Tiffany leaves with her title in the air.
So, I didn't understand what that was, whether, like, is Kaiser was really doing that? Was it, like, before?
Is that why Kaiser's in my DMs? And so he's like, please don't make that a storyline. Please don't make that a story.
I think that was just a little jab. I don't remember hearing anything about that. But, I mean, anyway.
We got to Nick Aldis, who was in backstage with Adam Pearce. He says there will be a women's tag team gauntlet match, and winners will face Liv and Raquel at WrestleMania. Don't know who's going to be in it. But now, we have a number one contenders match between the Motor City Machine Guns and DIY. I guess it was a good match. I mean, why wouldn't it be?
Okay.
But the Motor City Machine Guns pick up the win. Good for them. They are now the number one contenders. Maybe it'll be at Mania. We'll see. Backstage, we cut to The Miz and Carmelo Hayes as they stop in front of Pretty Deadly. Miz calls them pretty useless.
Mm-hmm.
Hayes asks them if they are a tag team or the Chicago Bears. Oh my gosh. Pretty Deadly says we have some jokes. The Marine 3, the Marine 4, the Marine 5. Miz says at least the Marine was made, and asks how their musical is. Pretty Deadly says they just finished one about someone who has not been relevant in 10 years. It's like, ooh. They begin to argue, and they ask Hayes why he is happy to be relegated to being with the Miz. Hayes tells him that Pretty Deadly couldn't be them on their best day. We have B-Fab versus Naomi. Not really much of a match, but Naomi wins. She grabs the microphone after the match and asks Jade where she is because she's still standing. She turns around and Jade gets in the ring, hitting her with a big boot. She grabs Naomi, but in comes security to break it up. Jade throws security out of the ring. Out comes Nick Aldis, who says he has had enough of this. And there's only one solution. Aldis, you two are going to fight at WrestleMania. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, wow, waiting for that to happen.
Yeah.
We knew that was coming. A video Damian Priest says, he tells Drew that he basically calls out Drew. He says, oh, this is why I did it, because I'm better than you, and I'm Damian Priest. Apparently they're going to have a fight at WrestleMania. I don't know if they've made that official yet. But we cut to Kevin Owens walking backstage as he's walking to the ring. This is something to talk about. Nick Aldis is in the middle of the ring and says that this is part of the job that is not very fun. In this industry, there is a fine line between coming back next week and finding out you may never step foot in the ring again. It is a cliche, but there is a reason why they say don't try this at home. He doesn't want to say much more, and then Kevin Owens comes out of the ring. He says he's wearing a Bret Hart jacket and looks dejected. He says that he's been doing this for 25 years and thinks he can confidently say that for 25 years he gave everything he had. Because of this injury, he has been able to take care of his family, but there is a price to pay for that amazing opportunity. Every guy and girl in the back has paid that price, and now it seems like it is his turn. For the last 4 months, he has been dealing with a pretty serious neck injury, but this week they figured it out, and now he has to get neck surgery. It says, go get neck injury. He's not going to get surgery.
Yeah.
And that is what he will do, and the timing cannot be worse, because not getting to be in the ring with Randy Orton at Mania sucks. He says he's really thankful to WWE, blah, blah, blah. Owen says he says what he does know is that the last few years he has learned not to take anything for granted, blah, blah, blah. He shakes Nick's hands and drops the microphone. As he's about to leave, Randy's music hits. Orton walks out and he looks confused. Owen's just standing up on the ring apron, and Orton walks up the ring steps and onto the ring apron. Both men look at each other. Owen leaves the rings and Orton gets in the ring. Owen stops at a fan who apparently said something to him, but the camera cuts to Orton, who was in the ring. The fans chant, "Aunt Randy," blah, blah, blah. It notice tells him that he gets to be the one to tell him that this, but he no longer has a match at WrestleMania. Orton looks mad, and then he hits Aldis with an RKO as he looks at the WrestleMania signs. Like, hey, remember? Hey, at least he already paid for it.
Yeah, he did. Yes. Like,
oh, that's for the second one.
That was... I love that callback. So, yeah, he already paid for it.
It's like, now, is this real? Or is it kayfabe? It seems real. Because I was looking this morning and I couldn't find any. I can't find anything. They're saying, like, oh no, he's actually fine. But, like, I think he might actually be hurt. Which, like, that's a weird time. Well, it's also good that they caught it. Yeah. Because he could have been out there taking a bad RKO and just been like, I can't move.
Yeah. And I mean, that one spot.
Oh, the one spot at Rumble?
At the Rumble, like.
Yeah.
Oh,
that might have been part of, like, what made it worse.
It definitely didn't help. That's for sure. But, yeah. I mean, it's, it did seem really genuine. But it just, like, 2 weeks out from WrestleMania, with that kind of match, with that kind of history, you're like, it had to have been like, yeah, it sucks. Obviously,
they're saying he might need spinal fusion. He might be out for a while.
Yeah.
And some of these are saying, they don't know when he'll be back.
But I mean, if it's that serious, I mean,
if ever be serious about it.
I know, yeah, people would when he said something about Pete, I saw a comment saying, like, they were compared to, like, this could be, like, a big, it's bad enough it could be, like, a
Big E situation. Daniel Bryan.
Like,
deal, yeah. Like, he's gonna be out for a while. But, let's move on. We have a last man standing match between, it's a number one contender, between Jacob Fatu and Braun Strowman. Holy crap.
Big men.
And it's last man standing. And they go at it. They are beating the ever-loving crap out of each other, trying to get the 10 count. But the man who wins and is your new number one contender, Jacob Fatu. And he's probably going to win it. Everyone's seeing that.
Yeah, I mean, oof. I mean, we knew from the moment that He took a bump or something. I think it was like a suplex or something. And he got back up. Was like, it was nothing. It was like, okay, when's he getting a championship?
Yep. So after that, we cut to backstage. Hold on, calm down, phone. Again, why are you doing this? We cut to the garage, and we see Paul Heyman standing there. And in comes, finally, Roman Reigns. They quickly get to the ring, like, very quickly. And they have a little promo. He basically has, is he here? Yes, my tribal chief. Tell him to come out. Yes, my tribal chief. But he does not come out for, Roman says that CM Punk would not be back if it wasn't for him. Oh yeah, he does the whole, promo says that exactly who he's talking about, and Heyman asks if Punk is still talking about the favor. Yes, my tribal chief. He says that so many times. Yes, my tribal chief.
Yeah.
Roman says that CM Punk would not be back if it wasn't for him. He would not be in the main event of WrestleMania if it wasn't for him. And if he gets it. There are good people. Blah, blah, blah. Vance and ODC. He asked Punk to come out and tell him what the favor is. But next comes Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Seth music hits and out comes out he comes. He introduces himself and tells Roman that he would not miss this one for the world. He says he does not know what the favor is, but the reality is that he has a feeling the reality would knock Roman's socks off. Unlike everyone, Roman does not like to live in the real world, but every time Roman steps out of his little universe, reality bites him in the butt. Blah, 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 blah. He's talking him down. So that tells Roman that he's in a much better place this week after he was last week. Reality gives you two options. Either you suffer and get left behind, or you adapt and control reality. Blah, 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 blah. Eventually, CM Punk comes out. CM Punk gets in the ring. He says, the favor? What's the favor? Punk says this is about friendship, about legacy, about promises made and promises kept. This is about loyalty. Punk says this goes back to Louisville, Kentucky, and they told Heyman that he does not belong to and to fire him. But Heyman said no. He talks about all that. Heyman told him that he will be fine, and Punk made him into WrestleMania, forced him to deal with us. Punk tells Roman that they are not here anymore, and he will force him out of his comfort zone. He will force to deal with us. He says, Roman Reigns at WrestleMania in the main event, in my corner, your wise man, my best friend, Paul Heyman. Seth, the last Roman says, that's the favor? He tells Punk that Heyman loves him and needs him. He saved Heyman. I saved him. Even if he lets him, Heyman wouldn't. Roman laughs and he tells Heyman, like, let this desperate fool down easy. Heyman just sounds like, Roman looks at Heyman and he has tears and he's like, are you crying? Roman tells Heyman he better tell Punk no. Roman tells Heyman that he took him in, I made you relevant, and tell him no. Roman tells Heyman that he will give him more opportunities. Tell him no. Heyman looks down and says, no, my tribal chief, I can't do that. Seth's in the corner just laughing.
Yes. I know, yeah, he was there just enjoying it. He might as well have had a thing.
And Roman grabs Heyman in the corner. Punk hits Roman from behind and hits him with a DTS. He and Seth stare at each other, and then Seth leaves the ring, and then SmackDown goes off air. So, that is the favor.
That's the favor.
I want you in my corner at WrestleMania. Wow.
Okay.
Like, he did, like, I didn't want to come back, but he's like, okay, I'll come back if you can do this for me. It's like, wow. Roman hasn't had Paul Heyman not in his corner in how long?
Oh, a good bit. Try to think. Because he started, like, during, was it the pandemic?
It was around then, but I forgot when he officially was like, I'm your wise man, your whatever, blah, blah, blah. Hold on. On August 28th, 2020, Heyman aligned with the returning Roman Reigns, betraying the character as a special counsel. August 28th, 2020. And he's pretty much been there every single match for Roman Reigns. In his corner.
Yeah, he has. And it's
so for almost 5 years. That's pretty long. It's pretty long to have someone in your corner.
Yeah.
That's like, this is also the longest time Paul Heyman's been with a single wrestler. I think. How long is he with Brock?
That's the only other wrestler I can think of that he was with probably longer.
Because he was with Brock for a while. Oh, 2014 to 2020.
So, yeah,
he was with Brock for like 6 years. I forgot about that. So, do we see Jacob Fatu versus LA Knight at WrestleMania?
I think, actually, that match is already, yeah.
Oh, they've already made that match?
They already posted it online, like,
nice.
12 hours, like, a little after SmackDown ended.
So, right now, these are the current matches. We got Roman versus CM Punk versus Seth Rollins. That's the main event night one. And we have the main event night two, Rhodes versus Cena. Then we got Tiffany versus Charlotte, Gunther versus Jay, Io versus Bianca versus Rhea Ripley, AJ versus Logan, LA Knight versus Jacob Fatu, Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez versus whoever wins the gauntlet match, and then Jade Cargill versus Naomi. Right, so it's currently 9 matches. They need to add some more. But what else can they add? They'll add the tag team match for the WWE.
Yes.
What other matches? Oh, they haven't officially added Damian versus Drew. They haven't added the Intercontinental Championship yet, so that's 3. What else is there? I guess maybe the WWE tag team, New Day versus War Raiders.
So that's 13 matches.
That's 4 spread matches. Across.
No, total.
Yeah.
Oh, total. Spread across.
I heard they need one more to make it like 7 and 7. What's another match they could add? They're not going to do either women's one. What else? Who else is there? Because it would have been Randy and Kevin.
Yeah, yeah. What's Randy going to do? Is he going to get a...
He seems like he's still going to have a match, just we don't know who. Watch it be Nick Aldis. He gets back.
I mean, it has happened. I mean, was it... it wasn't at WrestleMania, but I mean, Roman wrestled Adam Pearce. I forget. It was during the pandemic era. But I forget what... I think it was like a... I think it was a premium live event, technically, or something like that.
Oh, it was at the Royal Rumble 2021.
That's right. Yeah.
Wait, did he really?
Yeah, and it was. I think he had his shirt off, but it was like it was still like his dress pants or something like that. From what I remember, well, I remember seeing clips. I don't remember seeing the actual match, but that it's the weirdest thing. Yeah, Adam Pearce wrestling as he was still the general manager and stuff.
Wait, hold on. At the Royal Rumble, because that looks like Sunday, January 31st. Was that? It was 2021, but this was saying he went up against Kevin Owens in a Last Man Standing match.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, there was. Yeah.
Hold on, let me look.
But yeah, I mean, this, I mean, if they're doing that, I mean, Nick Aldis, he was, how long has it been since he was the NWA champion?
I don't know. It's been a while,
Nick
though.
Aldis.
Oh, well, but...
But, I mean, Nick Aldis, I don't think he was necessarily not cleared to wrestle. I think he just came in and just took on the role of the general manager.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah, well. Yeah. I mean, he was still, like, wrestling. Like, he was wrestling in Impact in 2023 and stuff. So, I mean, he was still wrestling. And I don't remember ever hearing of... him ever having, like, an injury that stopped him. So, I mean, I don't know. It seems like a really weird build-up. I mean, obviously, with the situation, nothing's going to be...
Oh, perfect. It was on a SmackDown.
Oh, that's what it was.
That, this
Nick
was
Aldis,
to...
yeah. No, not,
yeah. He...
No... Yeah, the Adam Pearce. Yeah.
Yeah, I... That's actually kind of funny.
Yeah.
But, that's all I have for SmackDown.
That's all I got for SmackDown as well.
Alright. That is all of SmackDown. Now, let's do our AEW Dynasty predictions. We are doing this before Collision... And Collision usually adds more.
We'll see. It may be a couple pre-show matches, but...
they usually don't add something like how much they on the main... On the but gosh. We're just going to go in kind of order, but the first match we have is Kenny Omega versus Ricochet versus Speedball Mike Bailey for the AEW International Championship. I think this is an obvious one. I think Kenny Omega is going to retain. He just got it a month ago. Don't think he's going to drop it that early.
Yeah, but, I mean, the man that
it'll
built...
It'll be a good match.
Yes, I think it will be a phenomenal match, looking at these wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But Kenny Omega is my pick as well.
Next, we have the Death Riders versus Rated FTR for the AEW World Trios Championship, which... Oh, they've had it... Oh, yeah, they've had it since All In.
Yeah. Which, I mean, wasn't it, like, already a weird, it seemed like a weird pairing to be like
it was because Claudio and Wheeler were with him, and then they added Pac.
Yeah, because that was, I think they were still the Blackpool Combat
Club. They were at that time,
and then it was Pac there. I think he was replacing
Brian Danielson, maybe.
I think, or I forget who was he was replacing, but out of nowhere they're like, oh yeah, we're the Death Riders now. So there was that.
But yes,
it's going to be the Death Riders. We've already seen the stuff with Dax Harwood. I hate to say it.
But
with them already doing it, like, if that stuff wasn't going on, I would have said rated FTR. Because, I mean, I don't know how long they can keep the Death Riders thing going, but with...
Me neither, but I'm going to say FTR. FTR. Just... Because I think they've had the title for long enough, and I think that they might have just been like a fake out, but we'll see.
Okay.
We'll go with FTR. Next, we have Chris Jericho versus Bandido and a title versus mask match for the Ring of Honor World Championship. I think Bandido wins this.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't even know how long he's had it since October. I think Bandido's going to win this.
Yeah, and I think Bandido does a lot more with Ring of Honor as well, from what it seems.
Especially since Bandido is Bandido. He is not... Yeah. They don't know his real identity. Yeah. And, like, you're not going to do something like that. Like, it's going to be Bandido. Next, we have Daniel Garcia versus Adam Cole for the AEW TNT Championship. But also, this match has no time limit and no outside interference is permitted.
So, we'll see.
Adam Cole. Daniel Garcia, you have done jack with this title.
Yeah. I'm going to say Adam Cole as well. I mean, I haven't seen a lot with this feud. I think they've done this a lot more on Collision.
Probably. Well, let me see. He defended it March 19th. On Slam Dunk Saturday.
Mm.
On a collision. He's defended it a few times, but like nothing that... On a collision on Jericho's cruise ship.
Oh, yeah, that's
on
right.
On another collision. So it's been mainly on Collision he's been doing it. But I still think it's going to be, I think it's going to be Adam Cole. That's just my opinion. We have the Hurt Syndicate versus, you said Adam Cole too, right?
Yeah, I said that.
It's not much. We have the Hurt Syndicate versus the Learning Tree for the AEW World Tag Team Championship. I think we know what's happening here.
Yes.
This is where MJF proves his worthiness.
Yes, so
he's going to come in and help them retain the championship, so he can be a part of the Hurt Syndicate.
Yeah,
that's what's going to happen.
I agree. So I was going to say the Hurt Syndicate anyway, without MJF, with just how dominant they've looked. But yeah, we'll see. Also, what it does with the Learning Tree, if that does happen. With Chris Jericho and stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, will they stay together?
We'll see. Yeah. We have all these Owen Hart Cup tournament matches. We have Will Ospreay versus Kevin Knight. I'm going to go with Will Ospreay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it'll be a good match. Knowing what... I mean, Kevin, I'm assuming... I wouldn't be surprised if they talk about him and Kevin Knight having... a couple matches in New Japan, but I'm going to say Will Ospreay with this.
This one's easier. Mercedes Moné versus Julia Hart. Mercedes Moné.
Yeah.
Come on. We have Kyle Fletcher versus Mark Briscoe. I'm probably going to go with Kyle Fletcher. Because how is the turn... Hold on.
I forget. I'm going to go with Kyle Fletcher, too. I mean, I wouldn't... There wouldn't be any surprise if any of the Don Callis family come out and decide to.
Hold on. It'll be Kyle Fletcher, but I don't think it'll be Will Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher in the final, because I think that feud's done.
Yeah.
Will Ospreay just won a big match. Like, the big match. I think that feud's over.
I agree.
But I still want to go Kyle Fletcher to beat Mark Briscoe because of this next match. Oh, wait, hold on. They did not. But we also have Hangman Adam Page versus...
The wild card. So we'll see who it is.
Can't make a prediction because I don't know who it is.
That's the thing. It's going to be...
Who's it going to be? We actually don't know. Like,
In this case, it could be an AEW... It could be, like, someone who's just not on the card.
Mm-hmm.
Try to think who... That's the thing.
their roster's loaded.
Yeah.
No idea. So I'm actually just not going to make a prediction for this.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not going to make one either. Just think about, sure, you can have someone out of a bigger name come in.
I'm not sure.
Because, I don't know if the wrestler would be worth it to, saying, oh, yeah, they could definitely...
There is one person who's not on the card. MJF. I don't think he would, but if he does, who's going to win that one? I don't know who would win.
That would be a real dragged-out way for him proving his worth.
It would be, but I don't think that's what they would do.
I agree.
But, I can't...
We'll
have to wait for tomorrow night.
But
let's get into the two biggest matches of the night. We have Toni Storm versus Maggie Bain for the AEW Women's World Championship. I think Toni Storm's going to retain.
I do.
She's probably going to have another lengthy reign.
Yeah. They've pushed Megan... This where it gets a little tough, because they pushed Megan Bain a lot more than I thought they would. I mean, they even had her pin Toni Storm in that tag match. And it's like, if they're willing to do that, I mean, I think it's a little too early. I think this is the start of the feud, beginning match of the feud. I think Toni Storm's going to retain, though.
Yeah, I think Toni Storm's going to retain. And now, what's definitely going to be the main event?
Yes.
Jon Moxley versus Swerve Strickland for the AEW World Championship.
I mean,
this is actually a tough one.
Yeah, because I mean, you see Jon Moxley, how far he goes, and then you see that promo is like, you've been in death matches, I've won them, and then him getting I've won them, and then him getting power bombed on glass, and then sitting up is like you're going to have to do a lot more than that. Yeah,
but Jon Moxley's also been through a lot
too. I know. Yeah, it's just with both of them, and I mean, it seems like Hangman and Page is backing off a little bit too, so I mean, there's not really a chance of him interfering either.
How long does he have this title?
It's been a good bit.
October. So, about 6 months.
We'll see if, with the stuff with Will,
I'm going to say Moxley retains, because I don't think he's going to drop it to All In.
Ooh. That's,
I don't think he'll drop it to All In. But it's going to be a very good match, and there's definitely going to be some screwy stuff happening.
Yes. Oh, it's whatever the death rate is, but yeah. I'm going to say Moxley, too.
They have the numbers advantage. The only people Swerve has is Prince Nana, which, okay.
Yeah.
And Will Nightingale, but, you have one actual wrestler, and he has four.
Yeah, you could. There's also going to be rated FTR.
FTR might. But I don't know if he's going to get along. I don't know if he's going to do that to help Swerve, or if it's just going to be against.
I mean, that's a lot what AEW does when they have that kind of thing. And also, I feel like it's more like they're against the Death Riders.
Also, they already have a match. I don't think they're going to get involved again. FTR.
But that would that also rule out the other Death Riders?
They'll get involved. They're going to help. Because they're helping Jon Moxley. I don't think Rated FTR is going to get involved. It just doesn't seem like, oh yeah, we've already faced you. Let me come here and fight you again.
Yeah, I guess. I just don't see it. Yeah.
I'm saying Moxley. But those are our current predictions. They'll probably add more matches, but we don't really care.
11 matches.
It's going to be a long one.
Yeah, there's already 11 matches, and they'll probably make like 2 or 3 pre-shows probably at the last minute.
But that is all of this podcast. Yes. Do you have anything else you want to add?
That's all I got. All
right. I hope you guys enjoyed listening. Remember, we are everywhere podcasts are. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, we're there. Give us a like, give us 5 stars, or whatever you need to do to let us know that you liked us and you want to take it away, man?
Yes. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.
Have a great day and God bless.